I appreciate the people being here. I appreciate our sister rejoicing in the Spirit. The things that God is doing for the church, it thrills my heart. There's nothing that the church needs anymore than the restoring of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when you lose your joy, you don't have any strength. You don't have any perseverance. You've got to have the joy of the Lord. You know, the one thing that happened to David was he lost the joy of the Lord. And when you lose the joy of the Lord, you don't have any rejoicing anymore. Just living becomes a burden. It's just a burden to live. It's one thing to exist. It's another thing to live. Jesus taught that he didn't just come into the world so that we might exist, but he came into the world that we might live. I was just telling Brother Monroe in there, it's getting late, and we had a little conference and confrontation there, and I thought instead of trying to minister to you, I'd just talk a few minutes, and then we'll be on our way. But we will be back if the Lord's will. We'll be back with the tent, if the good Lord's will. We'll be back with the tent, and we'll have a real camp meeting. God will give us a real camp meeting. So let me say this to you this morning, that I do appreciate being here in Shreveport. I appreciate being in this church. It's a beautiful church, nice roomy church where you can have plenty of people coming and talk to them about Jesus. I understand that they have another little mission back over in Texas where they live. But this one is active and alive here, and the Lord is here, and there's no reason why that people can't come here and be filled with the wonderful love of God, the spiritual things of Jesus, and grow in the grace and in the wonderful knowledge of the Son of God. You know, my heart is so filled with the great, wonderful mysteries of Christ until I have... There's been times when people would hem me up, and we would talk the greater part of the night many, many times. And many, many times when we finished, they still didn't want us to stop. And we have talked all night long until the sun come up, and they still didn't want us to stop. But, you know, the body, it does get tired, and you do find yourself having to stop for a little while. But anyway, the mysteries of God has been so sweet to my soul, and so many wonderful, wonderful mysteries, until I feast all the time off of the wonderful mysteries of God. Like last night, I made mention of this. I never did stress the point, but in this Bible, of course, there are those things that are typical, types and shadows, as Paul referred to them. Or allegories, that is, things that represent things. That is, in the Old Testament, the Bible speaks concerning it like this. It says, and the veil that was over Moses' face still remains over the face of the people, even until today. Which veil is taken away in Christ? Which means that the Old Testament was something great and mighty that was hid. It was hid behind a veil. It was the great invisible world, the other dimension, hid behind a veil of intellectual types and shadows or things that represented the world to come. And at Calvary, Jesus, being the prophet, likened to Moses, he rent that veil. And let me just say this to you here. When he rent the veil, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, what do you mean he rent the veil? And the Lord pointed out how that he had rent the veil that was over Moses' face. Moses had a veil over his face. That veil represented the body of Jesus, which hid the Shekinah glory of God from the world. But at Calvary, that veil was rent. And today, Christ, the quickening spirit, lives within our heart, and he reveals to us the hidden world. He reveals to us that other dimension. And I just wished I had time, you know, to really pretty see. I do. I get, you know, things are so rich and so wonderful. But anyway, the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. And I said, Lord, what do you mean the veil was rent in twain? And then God began to speak to me of how that Paul spoke of the veil, the middle wall of partition. That is to say, his body, even the flesh, which stands between your spiritual life and the great Spirit of God. God has rent that veil. God has folded up that flesh and laid it away by the body of Jesus Christ, having made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All the righteousness of Christ in the great Spirit of God. He hath made you the righteousness of God. And as our sister said, I've thought about it a number of times. You know, I asked the question, I said, Lord, what does it take to excel the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes? I said, I fast and pray. The Lord said, the problem with the Pharisees and scribes, they trusted in their own merits, they trusted in their own righteousness, and they did not have the righteousness of Jesus Christ that excels the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And so then we today, being made the righteousness of Christ Jesus through God, not being found with our own righteousness, the Bible tells us that we're found with the righteousness of Christ, which excels that of the Pharisees and scribes. And I asked the Lord the question, I said, then if the veil was rent in twain, what do you mean by the rending of the veil? And the Lord said, I separated the Jesus and the Christ. You know, that really got a hold of me. I said, separated the Jesus and the Christ. He said, when the veil was rent in twain, it was the separation of Jesus and the Christ. And said, the Jesus, which was the body that was made sin, died out of the presence of the Father, that you might, as Christ, live in the presence of the Father forever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, Son, in rending the veil, separating the Lord and the Christ, I separated your body from your spirit by the crucifixion. And you are to consider your body of sin to be dead by the body of Jesus Christ. Therefore, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ as the new body, that is, as the resurrected one, and being divorced from the old, you are now married to the new. And so then in this, we find ourselves a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the veil having been rent in twain, I said, Lord, how can this be? I said, Jesus was but one person. And then he took me to the scripture in the book of Acts where the Bible said, and he made in himself twain. He made in himself twain, both old and new, both Jesus and Christ. And at the crucifixion, God rent the veil in twain. That is, he rent it in two. He separated one from the other. So today, by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of Calvary, your body is dead because of sin and the first birth. But your spirit is life and living because of Christ and the resurrection and the new birth. And what God is trying to do is to redeem your body. This was why that there was a dispute over the body of Moses. There was a dispute over the body. There was not a dispute over the soul of Moses, nor the spirit of Moses. There was a dispute over the body of Moses. And when death came to claim Moses' body, the angel said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. So he wouldn't let him have the body. You know, and that's where the problem is today. There is a dispute today, and some feel like that we're going to die and we're going to have to be put in the dirt. And they're going to throw dirt in our face because God doesn't care for the body. But the Bible said, you're the temples of God. Your body is the temple of the Lord. You should glorify God in your body. Somebody says, all you've got to do is believe, Brother Pike, and you can be holy. But the Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. And Paul said, I want to present you to God blameless, soul, body, and spirit. See, so then God hath redeemed the body also. It's not that God is going to redeem the body. It's not that we're waiting for God to redeem the body, though we wait for the redemption of the body, which is the purchased possession. But we're not waiting for God to redeem the body. God redeemed the body at Calvary. He did for us at Calvary everything that needed to be done. And he saved our souls. He redeemed our body. And we are waiting today to wit the redemption of our body. The word went has to do, of course, with understanding. And as we say, that's a witty old chap. You know, wisdom searcheth out many inventions. Or if you're witty, you can find out a lot of things. Well, that is to say that we have redemption by Calvary, even for the body, but we must come to the knowledge, the revealed knowledge of it, down through the church ages until the light compiles itself to the extent that we recognize and realize that we are already redeemed, and that we have been justified, and that we have been sanctified, and that we are perfect without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, that we do keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not, and that he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and that we are already glorified. So then we comprehend. You know, if I'm sick, all I have to do is comprehend that I'm healed by his stripes, and it becomes effective. Though I'm lost, all I've got to do is comprehend the fact that he saved me by his blood, and I become saved. And if I'm lost all from that wonderful heavenly world, all I've got to do is comprehend that I'm lost off and comprehend the place where I should be, and all of a sudden my faith translates me as it did Enoch into that wonderful dimension and into that new world as it did Jesus when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration and appeared in glory. That's what the rapture really is. So then been changed from glory to glory. But let me say this to you. In that the veil is rent, there is a definite difference concerning your body and your spirit are the world and you. And if we had time to go into the Old Testament and preach on the waters of separation, we could explain what we're saying. But anyway, I just want you to think on this. There are different dimensions. There are different dimensions. And there is different heavens. There is the first heaven, and there is the second heaven, and there is the third heaven. And everybody is not made for the first heaven, nor is everybody made for the second heaven. And so it is that everybody is not made for the third heaven. Maybe when we come back under the tent and we get a chance to preach, we'll be able to explain to you why that this is, as we say. There are definitely different kind of people. There are birds that are roadrunners. They never really get off of the ground, so to speak. And then there are those that perch in the treetops and they find a little higher level of living. But there are those that are great and mighty eagles with wingspan 6 feet or more. And they fly high into the heavens and soar high into the heavens because they are made for a different dimension. Powerful and strong. And of course, going into this would take a long time. Going into the rent veil would take a long time. But let's just say this concerning the rent veil in a few words this morning. And that is that there is a separation between the children of darkness and the children of light. And the children of darkness, they do have control of the world through their intellectual reasoning. They have control of the world. But that world is under the veil of darkness, whereas we're children of light, and we're not caught in the veil of human reason. Therefore, we are different people, and we are walking in the light. We're not children of darkness that day should come upon us unaware. We know when it's nigh, even at the door, and you know that it's nigh, even at the door right now. That's pretty close. When it gets to the door, then if you know that much about it, you understand pretty good. If you know that it's nigh at the door, that's pretty close. So, just to say this, that as the revelation of Jesus Christ comes forth, and that means that the time is at hand, as we said last night. And speaking of the rent veil, speaking of the separation of the children of darkness and the children of light, speaking of the separation of your spirit and body, there's much to be said about it as to what God did in cutting off the Jews and why it happened to them the way it did. And why that God turned to the Gentiles, and why today that we have the great privilege of healing, of prosperity, and the wonderful blessings of God as to eternal preservation and salvation. So it's a joy and a jubilance, you know, to shout and sing and rejoice as we feel the inspiration. But I tell you something, beloved friend, it's far more rejoicing to understand the deep hidden mysteries of God and to know your benefits in God, to know your eternal security and to understand it. It's far more exciting to be able to come into those great realms of discovery as Paul did when he spoke of such a one being caught up to the third heaven. Speaking of the third heaven. So there is a third heaven, and it's an exciting thing to know that there is a third heaven. That's all I'm going to say this morning. I told Brother Monroe back there, I said, I'm just going to speak just a few minutes in the sense of telling the people I appreciate them and just talking to you a minute or two to let you know that we appreciate being here. And I hope that you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes when we preach, you know, you get excited and you kind of shake your hand a little bit and you move around a little bit and you get excited, you kind of holler a little bit and you kind of drive the point home, and people get a hold of it more because they get excited a lot more than just standing and talking to them. But I believe that those that have been coming out, the kind of attitude that they have had and the way that they have listened, I feel that they've received a number of things here in the last two or three services. I feel sure that they picked up a number of things because it looked like that they're people of good understanding. It appears that way. And because of that, I'm sure that they're cataloging some things in their heart that's going to really enrich them and that they're going to enlarge upon. All right, if you'll stand with me, I want to say again, we love and appreciate you. And we'll be leaving, if nothing happens, we'll be going on down to Texas, down around Corpus Christi. And then after that, unless we go into Mexico, which we might do, we've had some wonderful meetings in Mexico, and they press on us a lot to come into that direction. I still can't speak Spanish after preaching to them all these many years, but we've got some darling people in Mexico. They're very precious and dear to us. And we have to speak to them through an interpreter. But we still preach to them. And I pick up a few little words of Spanish. I understand that we've got some people back here maybe that don't understand English that's with us this morning. I've got a brother, Al Gonzalez. He'll probably be down here doing this meeting. He'll probably be on the 10. And he is real fluent in Spanish and English. I mean, he's an excellent interpreter. And he just gets right in there. If I get excited, he gets excited. If I holler, he hollers. And he just gets right in there with me, you know. And I've seen meetings. We were down in Mexico, and we'd have meetings when everything in the whole building would come, or wherever we was at, you know, and just fall down on the face, and the anointing of God would be so great. Well, we just, you know, you just couldn't seem to stop. The Spirit of God has been moving so great. As a matter of fact, Jim probably remembers the last service we was in down there in a little place that they'd asked us to come over to, and the anointing fell in such a way that from the time we walked in behind the sacred desk, and the anointing fell in prophecy. And the prophecy was so great and mighty until it never stopped through the whole service. It continued, and it was so moving. I believe they have that on tape, don't they, Jimmy? It was so moving that you could just feel the electrifying move of God just going clear through you, just constantly just moving through you, just like waves of light, you know, and the people were really shook up. I've never had a service like that before in my entire life. Sometimes the spirit of prophecy comes on us, or the tongues, interpretation, whatever, and we might speak to people like that, sometimes discernment or whatever it might be, but I've never had prophecy to come on me like that. I'm not a preacher to make believe. I don't believe in making believe. You know, there's three kinds of people. There's a make believer, and there's an unbeliever, and then there's a real true believer. And I'm not an unbeliever, and I don't believe in making believe, so they don't leave it one thing for me. And when I say that we went in and the anointing of God fell, I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. It was astounding, even on the tape. I recall now they did make a tape of it because I remember hearing some of it back. And even on the tape, the anointing is still so tremendous until you can't listen at the tape without it stirring your soul. People get something from books and tapes. I can read a little track and I get something from it. I hear people talk, I get something from it. I remember that comes to my mind a man by the name of Pat Boone. He's a singer. Pat got a hold of one of our tapes on the little glass slipper. And he wrote me a letter and he said, I never knew there was so much gospel in a fable, Brother Pike. He said it thrilled his heart. So you never know, just one sermon, one little something, you never can tell what it will mean to a person. Let's just bow our heads together, can we? And while we've got our heads bowed, let's slip our hands up. The Bible teaches that I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I wondered, you know, one time in my life, I wondered why that it was that God wanted us to lift our hands up. I thought, why do you want us to do that? And the Lord spoke to me and said, this brings Calvary back to my mind. When the hands are lifted up, he said, it brings Calvary back where Jesus is hanging there in the behalf of humanity. So let's lift up holy hands, hands that's made holy by him, and let's pray together. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity. Thank you for this moment of being here, though we've just kind of talked and fellowshiped with the people, exhorted a little bit, yet we do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the pleasure, Lord, of being here and meeting our sister Clara and our brother Monroe and meeting our brothers and sisters in Christ. May your great spirit be upon these people. May your great anointing be here, even the mighty anointing that I feel right now. May it settle down over the people. And Father, from these few services that we've had, God, may they be healed. May their bodies be healed. Whatever the disease is, whatever the pressures are, Father, whatever it might be that would be driving them, taking away their peace and taking away their happiness. Oh, God, bring great joy to the city. Father, bring great joy to these people. Father, bring joy and abundance to these hearts, knowing that you are life in that field in abundance. Dear God, may you fill us and may our cups overflow. And may this great, wonderful anointing, this powerful Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead, may it also quicken our mortal body, Father. And may we find ourselves rejoicing in the wonderful things of Jesus, Lord, as we go on our way. May these people be blessed, and may we also continue to rejoice in thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.